This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivis. So the infertility and the struggle to conceive with all its huge pitfalls and successes is a deeply personal road and one that many of us do not really understand. Sharing his experience with the matter is James Nyagam of Suhakam. Welcome, James.
Good evening.
Not really in your capacity of Suhakam, just as a parent, really. Yeah. I thought your wife would be in today. Was she not really comfortable talking about it or...
No, she's just busy with the kids.
Okay. What made you want to come on the show, James? I mean, I remember you called me up a couple of weeks ago, or you sent me an email to say that you'd like to come on and share your experience with me. But what made you want to do that?
Well, there are about three reasons why I wanted to come and share this. Because firstly, infertility is on the increase because of our lifestyle and other things and pollution and so on. Secondly, couples, you know, when they have are going through infertility, have no support like other forms of health problems, and it's something that is contained between husband and wife and in at home, and society, community, you know, have set standards. When you're not married, they ask you when you're getting married. When you are married, they ask you when you're having children, and success is measured by how many children you have. And so on. So it's difficult to meet people's expectations, especially family members and then, of course, community as well. So this is a problem that people need to know. And my wife and I, having gone through it, feel that we would like to be able to share with others our experience and be a journey with them as well.
How long did you wait before you decided that you were going to go forward and get some help?
Well, because we were not aware of our medical issues that we had. So we thought, you know, first year and second year, and it went on right up to 5 years. And then we realized, hey, something is not right. And that's the time we pushed our panic buttons and consulted our doctor.
Okay. Were you not afraid that you were older at that time?
Yes, because age is a factor. It is said that anyone over 35, the rate of fertility drops by 50%. So time was not in our favor. And of course, there was this great anxiety.
Okay. And you know, when you did find, okay, you went on to check and then you realized that something wasn't quite right. How did that sit with the both of you?
Well...
And I must find out from a man's perspective because, you know, a lot of couples, you know, friends of mine whom I know of, and they normally find the men are the ones who are reluctant to go forward and get themselves tested because, I don't know, it must be an ego thing or something. James, I mean, tell me, how did you feel? Were you open to it?
Yeah, well, we had to actually come to a point where we had to be investigated our medical condition. And lo and behold... the initial results showed that I was the main culprit. And I was very disappointed that I had actually disappointed my wife, that, you know, and the expectations that were longing there to have a child. And I realized that my lifestyle and all that I was doing wasn't contributing to my healthy lifestyle towards having a child. There was this issue. I was born... with my body, would you believe it, has a great amount of heat. If anyone touching me would feel hot. And when I was young, now recalling, my mom would say, you know, my body is extremely hot. So that was one factor. Two, I love eating chicken and drinking coffee, both of which doctors told, no, you can't.
Really?
Yes.
Fertility doctors?
Yes, because chicken are injected with some kind of hormone injections. Right. And that reduced the chances of having an active lifestyle.
But you'd never know for sure, James. You would never know for sure.
And that, so I had to stay away from chicken and coffee for 6 months.
How many cups of coffee were you were you consuming in a day?
And then the other point was stress.
Yeah.
And, you know, our daily stress and all this put together made me... a target for infertility.
Right. That I believe. That I highly believe, you know. How did the both of you cope with it? I mean, did it become a blame game and that's something a lot of people are concerned about?
Well, we looked at each other and we said, well, we've been hit by this. I couldn't believe it because of all persons, me working with children, having given up so much, had to be had to face with this reality that it's happened to me. Mm-hmm. And I had to overcome it. Much more, I was at a point of almost apologizing to my wife as well. But we looked at each other for support and we decided that, okay, we'll accept it as it is and we'll move on from there.
Mm-hmm. Family, friends, were they much of support or were they more difficult to deal with, especially family?
That's interesting because, as I said, when I wasn't married, people asked me, when are you getting married? And so I stayed away from that functions and so on, relatives especially. And then when we got married, the next question was again and again, when are you having children? And you answered one question, they have another question, why? So personally, I began to withdraw myself from functions mm-hmm. and so on. So I began to contain myself within my friends who probably understood. And we, my wife and I began to coin up excuses to as why we were not having children. So that was, I think people are not sensitive to when you answer them one, two answers, but they tend to probe. And that puts me off.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, I'm really honored to have you on to even share this story. I mean, and to say, you know, that you were, in a way, the contributing factor for the infertility, I think it takes a lot of guts for you to come on and talk about it. But, you know, very often, James, the whole idea of fertility seems to be the responsibility of the mother, of the woman of the family. Did you have in-laws and people like that who were giving, you know, your wife a hard time? Because that happens in traditional Asian families.
Well, true, because as I said, I withdrew myself from the community in general because lots of people thought that this was some spiritual problem that we were having, some thought that the lady was a contributing factor, and various other people came up with lots of reasons as to why we were not having children. So we had to deal with it standing.
Literally. But did you focus on trying to conceive? I mean, in that 5 years that, you know, you didn't quite, you were not able to conceive, did you focus on the relationship or did you focus on the conceiving aspect? I mean, were you stressing yourself out of the whole thing? Because very often that is stress in itself.
Yeah, because initially people thought that we were not doing the right way and a right time. So we were thinking maybe the right way and the right time, and we went on experimenting and doing things, but nothing worked out. Mm-hmm. I came to a point, I really came to a point of a panic. I remember one time I looked at this advertisement on the light post mm-hmm. where it says, strengthen your manhood. So I went to the street behind a street to a back lane and saw this guy and I explained to him my problem. And he was so taken, he was so sad that I was going through it.
Didn't he have
and
a solution?
And he sympathized with me.
You know, it's wonderful that you can laugh about it now, you know.
Yeah.
But there are so many solutions out there. Alternative medicine, the works. I mean, I see all sorts of weird signs saying, you know, weird massages and things like that. I mean, we're not tempted to seek alternative treatment.
Yes, I
because mainstream fertility treatment can be quite costly as well.
Oh, yes. That's why, I mean, we went to Chinese inses and, you know, listen to every other advice that was given by people. But nothing like going consulting a doctor, mm-hmm. finding out what's wrong, and then working at it.
Yeah. What was that like? I mean, when your first appointment, how did that go?
Well, the doctor sent us for a test. And then when the test results came, he looked at me and said, now we know the results.
Okay. Then you came on to accept the fact.
Yeah.
And how did you move on from there?
So staying away from certain food stuff, eating vitamins E, B, C, D, and mm-hmm. so on. Then He scheduled us for what you call an IUI, whereby, you know, you collect things and then you implant it in the in the womb or in the lady. So that started it, and so the first attempt actually worked, in a sense that the wife got pregnant. And I went around merrily telling everybody that I was going to be a father, and I actually collected items in preparation for being a parent. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, at the third month of the pregnancy, on a morning, we went to the doctor's clinic. He turned on the
ultrasound.
He says, there, you can see a little baby. And then he stopped for a while. He increased the volume to hear the heartbeat. And there was no heartbeat. Mm-hmm. And by which time I was drenched in sweat. And it had to happen to me again, you know. And so she was scheduled for a cleanup at the hospital. So that night at 11 p.m., I said, how many couples would celebrate their wedding anniversary in a surgery? Mm-hmm. So that was another traumatic experience that we went through. So subsequently, we went through about, I think, five IUIs, because these were conducted by my friends, so they didn't charge us much. So, you see, when someone goes through an IUI, what does it mean? It means a lot of injection and drugs is pumped into the wife. Mm-hmm. And that alone made me very sad. And I learned to give the injections myself. So, seeing her go through that pain, I began to feel the pain myself, and you know, it wasn't easy. And this is the time that you really don't want a visit by Aunt Flo. That means, you know, the period.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's on a Friday night, and she says it's coming to the time of the period, and we're all hoping, and then she says, oops, the period has come. Mm-hmm. And everything else, I say, okay lah, you know, we'll try again. And so we went on
Five times.
Mm-hmm. Until after having given up on IUI, we were introduced to another procedure called the IVF, mm-hmm. Virtual fertilization.
Yeah, and then it will come back and find out what really happened. If you have a question for James, he's in the studio. Send us a text message. The number is 016-201-9000 or tweet BFM Radio. We're finding out James Nigam's experience as a couple, he and his wife, as they struggled with fertility treatment on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
The five major fashion capitals are known to be
Paris, Milan, New York City, London, and Kuala Lumpur?
Get the latest news and hot gossip in the world of fashion with me, Azura Rahman, and Natasha Kau of Harper's Bazaar Malaysia on Starfile every Saturday at 11 a.m.
Busy following Money Trail, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture, and it's Mira Sifsodi, James Nigam from Suhakam with me in his personal capacity, sharing a story about fertility treatment. I mean, James and his wife sort of went through five IUI procedures, after which, you know, you said you had then underwent IVF. Cost is going up, James. You're lucky in the case of IUI, you had, you know, good friends who sort of didn't charge you very much. But with IVF, what was that experience like?
With IVF, I remember walking to the doctor's clinic in the somewhere in Damansara, and I went to the counter. It was a woman's fertility center, and she says, she asked me, why are you here? So I said, I want to see a doctor. She said, where's your wife? Mm-hmm. I said, she's not here. And then she said, you know, this is a woman's fertility center. I said, yes, but I'm the cause of it. So my name was called, and I walked into the doctor's consultation room, and he sat me down and he says, where's your wife? I said, doctor, she's not here because I'm the cause of it. He smiled and he said, the next time round, bring your wife and we'll have a look at both of y'all. And so he brought us together, and he recommended that we should go for the we've already gone through 5 years and not much time in terms of chances left. So the recommendation was that we go for IVF. Mm-hmm. So then we then the whole preparation started. You know, the you had to plant to sort of harvest the eggs and prepare both of us for the treatment. So that took some time, and injections that were coming in, and more frequently towards the period of the procedure. Mm-hmm. So so when the procedure came, she was prepared and I was prepared as well, and so they did the procedure.
And was it successful?
Yes, it was successful.
The first time around, well done. And you have twins now,
yes,
who are 11 years old. James, how much did doctors and medical personnel play a role in terms of supporting your wife and yourself?
Because, you know, every time when I went to this doctor, I felt like a real loser. I would sit outside the waiting to be called and thinking, you know, is it going to work? Because examinations, you can sit and then you can pass. But medical issues like infertility, it's just not happening. Mm-hmm. So he would call us in and he would say, all right, let's now do this procedure. And he was very positive about it. And despite the fact that within myself, I said, well, here goes another losing game. Mm-hmm. But I think his positive outlook, his whatever alternatives he offered was rather sounding positive than negative as compared to what I was going through. So that helped a lot.
Okay. Did you ever stop blaming yourself in that time?
No, I continue to think of myself differently. But what the other thing that I had was a hope that it would work out, mm-hmm, that something would work out.
Right. Did, in that 5 years, James, I mean, and you've done a lot of work with children, did you even consider adoption?
I did. And there were opportunities for me to have taken children. But then there was this deep hope that, you know, that I could have my own. So I began to be determined to try that, mm-hmm, first. And I, of course, after having exhausted that, probably we would have thought of adoption. So I didn't give up. So we kept on hoping that it'll work one day, someday.
Where did you draw your strength from?
I prayed a lot.
Like most of us would have.
Yeah. I cried a lot, and I read up a lot of books and attended some talks and so on. Mm-hmm. I could literally write chapters on infertility, and that kept me going and hoping that it will work out someday.
Did you speak to couples who were in the same situation?
Well, no, but what has happened is after having gone through this, every week I would get calls from couples who are unable to conceive, and we would discuss what they can do, what are the alternatives, and every year at least about 15 couples are blessed with children, you know. And that has been my journey ever since I've gone through myself. Mm-hmm. I always realize that, you know, when some of us go through some difficult situation, there's always a purpose to it. So now I realize that at the end of that journey, that I'm able to be of service and to others who are going through this.
How did you feel when you finally learned that you and your wife, you know, were going to expecting babies?
Yeah,
well, and not just one, two.
The pregnancy itself was another traumatic experience because the children came out premature, mm-hmm, and she had bleeding here and there a bit. But when they actually came out that day, I looked at these two individuals and I said, who are these two who changed my life permanently and, you know, affected me? So that was my response to the pregnancy as well as the delivery. But during the pregnancy, it was a time of anxiety. Is it going to happen? Is it really going to happen this time around?
Yep.
You know? And finally, when they came, I said, oh boy.
How, you mentioned that it has had a huge impact on your life. How so, James? How so?
Oh, I mean, when they came, I began to realize that these were much, much more precious gifts. And I didn't want to, I couldn't take these two individuals as for granted. Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people having children, blessed with children, but they don't seem to care much in terms of their safety, security, and so on. And I went through a period of time appreciating and wanting to be a better parent, and some of these things, and hoping that these children in turn will be in use of serving humanity as well.
Mm-hmm. What would you, you know, what are some of the important issues in your mind you think the people at large need to keep in mind about these matters as far as infertility is concerned?
I think having looking back, couples should not wait. They should, after 6 months, a year or so of trying.
And that is the benchmark, really. Yeah. 12 months of unprotected sex.
Right.
And if nothing happens, then you really should go forward.
They should. Then they should manage expectations. Expectations by community, expectations by family members. They should discuss amongst themselves rather than looking at each other. How are they going to respond to questions? And then it's more that the lady should be able to be willing to go through that traumatic experience of having injections being given to her, having gone through all the scans. Is she willing? Some couples they would stop at that and they would consider alternatives such as adoption and so on. So it depends how much she wants to go through that. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the husband is there to support and be of comfort to her.
I'm just going to give you a hypothetical situation. What would you or how would you have reacted if the problem was really your wife rather than yourself?
I would have actually accepted that because we spoke about it, we discussed it, and we felt that, well, this is our situation. We realized where we were. And we had to... We decided that we will cope with the situation and how best we were going to answer questions that were put to us.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, you know, was the common factor that kept you both together? Was it your faith? Was it support? What is it that kept you both together? Or is it just that the marriage was grounded really well?
I think faith matters a lot because we felt that we made a commitment to each other and we needed to keep to that unconditional commitment to each other. And secondly, that we realized that, you know, you go through for better, for worse, and poverty and so on. So this is one situation where we made a commitment to look after each other in sickness as well. So it really came about.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a good time. It was a difficult time, a test of relationship and to the extent of the relationship. And I'm glad it actually worked out well in terms of in this situation.
Another hypothetical situation, if things didn't work out and you know, the fertility treatment didn't work, what were you planning to do?
That's interesting because I think... I was inclined not to have a child. If we did not have a child, I was inclined, no, I don't think we would have had, though I help couples with adoption and so on. But personally, I came to a point where, you know, it was yes or no. That was the situation, but I wouldn't know, you know, I mean.
But at that time, that was what was in your mind.
Yes.
Okay. Samuel Tan says, can James share about child adoption in Malaysia? Just very briefly, James.
Well, child adoption, basically the child would come from either a single parent or a student or a poor family or sometimes a migrant. And the child is... when someone actually registers themselves for adoption, they'll have to go through a legal process which takes about 3 to 6 months. They'll have to hire a lawyer. The cost of the legal fees is about 3,500. It is brought before the judge, and the social welfare department will do their recommendation. Then the procedure is completed at the end of 6 months. I have seen couples who actually have adopted and who come and tell me that that child is their life. So it doesn't matter if it's a natural child or an adopted child. Adoption actually works. And at the end of the day, these little fellas are like lights, you know, in a festive season, who light up the home. And I've seen countless numbers of couples who are very pleased with that decision. And so doctors have also taken note of that. If the fertility treatment doesn't work, the next option is adoption, which is a better option because one gives a home to a child, and relationships actually work out, much to some reservations where they feel that, oh, what happens if it's not my child? It is basically, it can be a natural parent, but if they don't have quality time and quantity time with their own children, it amounts to the same thing. So at the end of the day, relationship is built on how much a parent spends time with a child, mm-hmm. not whether it's adopted or not adopted.
Do you think our legal system is conducive for this whole adoption process?
Oh, yes, very much. It's much more easier to adopt in Malaysia than overseas. And therefore, lots of couples are choosing adoption mm-hmm. as a better option to fertility treatment, which sometimes can be traumatic. Because fertility treatment, they will say 20-25% successful pregnancies, but 10% take away babies, you know. So if people are not able to carry on with fertility treatments, goes all by all means for adoption.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I realized in Malaysia is that everyone's open to adopting babies only. Is that a problem? Because there are a lot of older children who also need homes to go to, James.
Well, based on my experience for about 32 years now, let me tell you this. I would only recommend adoption up to 2 years of age of a child. Because after 2 years, the child he or she is able to decide for herself, and it's very difficult for adjustment purposes. And so how much and however people have come to me and said, no, we are able to adopt a child who is three and upwards, I said no, because maybe the first year it may work out, second year, but as the child grows, then other secondary problems emerge and they return the child back. Mm-hmm. And that's even more traumatic.
Yeah.
So I usually tell people 2 years and below, that's it.
What are some of these secondary problems?
Well, the child begins to have some behavioral problems, becomes beyond control, exhibit other forms of behavior which the parents can't cope with. And they're not prepared. You see, the most important years of a child is between 0 to 5. 0 and onwards, that's a time of bonding. And the child begins to respond to the parents, and you set parameters for the child and that kind of relationship. And so the parent somehow is able to impart their understanding relationship to the child. But after that 3 years old, the child has already somehow is able to identify certain things and begin to respond differently to a parent. Mm-hmm. And a situation comes about where it clashes. And so one can't take... So the parents are in a position to take the child and return back.
Yep.
And that's not good for the child.
Right. You've seen that happening very often?
Yes. In my 32 years of experience, that's enough testimonies to tell and show me that that's the possibility. Mm-hmm. But there is another way out whereby people can foster, which is not a legal adoption. But fostering itself, again, it's a temporary arrangement, which may or may not work. If it works, fine. If it doesn't work, then there's an option of returning the child back. But that's not too good for the child, so neither do I encourage fostering. Mm-hmm.
So what are you saying, James? I mean, those who are 2 years and above are going to remain in homes?
Well, they should be matched with couples who are willing to take the challenge, for better, for worse. Then if the child exhibits certain kinds of negative behavior, then they should be able to take it and say it's in good stride and challenge that they will be able to cope with that and they will not give up. But if people are working elsewhere, hoping that the child would behave him or herself, and the expectations are high as a normal child, then they're going to be very disappointed.
Okay. And do you guide them when it comes to these problems, or are the parents pretty much on their own?
Well, when they actually adopt, they would want minimal amount of support, because absolute adoption means the child becomes a child of the family. Mm-hmm. And so they would not want any form of interference from others. Only when there's a problem, they bring back like an old television set and say, fix it. Mm-hmm. That's where we come in and we've realized that what can happen if it's an older child.
Yep. Your final message, James, on your struggle with fertility treatment.
I would say that people need to recognize that age is not on their side. That look after your health, your habits, your eating habits, your lifestyle, and stress. If you want to have a child, all these things matters a lot. Manage expectations, accept each other, and at the same time, be positive. And keep in mind the options open, and hope for the best.
Thank you very much for joining me.
And if they need my assistance, well, they can contact me.
How do we get in touch with you?
Well, my email address is jamesnayagam, not Nagayam, nayagam at gmail.com, or call me at 012-314-1100. I repeat, 012-314-1100. And I'll be most happy to journey with any couple.
Thank you very much for joining me.
You're most welcome.
James Nayagam on his struggle with fertility treatment on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.